Welcome to today's deep dive. We're looking at a really fascinating Danish source document today. It's called globetrotter.pdf, and our mission is basically to unpack the ultimate travel flex.
Yeah, it really is the ultimate flex.
Right, so I want you to imagine growing up with zero international travel, none, and then you somehow become one of just maybe 300 to 400 people in human history to visit all 193 countries on Earth.
It's a massive leap. I mean, the subject of this document, Erik Fotrup, he grew up in a region called Dai in Denmark, and travel just wasn't on his radar as a kid.
Not at all.
But the wild part isn't just that he decided to do this, it's how he actually pulled it off. You'd expect him to be this chaotic free spirit, but he worked in Aarhus dealing with IT inventory management systems.
Which honestly sounds like the exact skill set you need for this.
Exactly. Think about it. Routing flights through active conflict zones or securing visas for 193 different nations is, well, it's basically a massive supply chain problem. He didn't just pack a backpack. He managed this 31-year quest like a highly complex database.
He had to, especially because he followed the incredibly strict parameters set by the Travelers Club. You know, you can't just step into an airport transit lounge, grab a coffee, and check a box.
Oh no, they are serious about that.
Yeah, they mandate spending a minimum of 24 hours in a country for it to officially count.
Right, and that 24-hour rule absolutely forces you out of the safe zones. The source document actually contrasts Erik's methodical approach with the classic fairy tale writer H.C. Andersen.
Oh, right, the whole imagination thing.
Yeah, Andersen famously thought you could find an amazing adventure just walking down your local street with a bit of imagination. Erik, however, actively pushed his physical limits.
Oh, absolutely. Like his trip to Mali. The Danish government was actively urging its citizens to evacuate immediately because of severe terror and kidnapping risks.
And where is Erik?
He is just hanging out in Timbuktu wearing the traditional blue headgear of the local Tuareg people.
He was constantly navigating absolute extremes. In 2011, he went to Ethiopia's Danakil Desert to see the Erta Ali volcano. The heat was so oppressive there that his bottled drinking water literally overheated.
Wow.
Yeah, you're trying to stay hydrated and your water is basically boiling. Plus, he's walking through this terrain where local salt-carrying camel caravans had to be protected by locals armed with Kalashnikovs.
And it wasn't just the extreme heat he faced. Look at his 2009 truck with his Spanish friend Sep.
In the Rwenzori Mountains.
Right on the border of Uganda and Congo. They were out there battling freezing snow and incredibly thick swamps.
It's just nonstop chaos. The swamps, the boiling deserts, the conflict zones. But after surviving all of that, the document highlights a massive contrast in how Erik processed the world around him.
Yeah, there's that brilliant story from Kenya that really captures it.
With the Maasai guide, Kios.
Right, they were standing under an acacia tree, and Kios just casually dropped that he only became an English-speaking guide because his parents considered him their dumbest child.
Which is such a crazy thing to just casually mention.
Yeah, but he was the only kid they felt they could spare from all the vital daily chores to actually send away to school.
It's a funny but deeply humbling moment. Standing under that tree, looking at the wildlife, you get the sense that sometimes you just don't need to say anything at all. Which answers the author's biggest question for Erik.
The ultimate question. After 31 years and visiting 193 countries, what profound wisdom did he learn?
Total silence.
Just silence.
The author connects this quiet humility to a line from the Tao Te Ching He, who knows, does not speak. They even compare Erik to another guy, from his hometown of Thai, the Tour de France winner, Jonas Vingegaard.
Two people who achieve completely superhuman feats, but stay remarkably grounded.
Exactly. They don't need to shout about it. For Erik, the ultimate joy wasn't even the adventure itself. It was coming home to his wife, Brigitte, and their kids.
And that grounded nature was essential, because hitting that final country was a logistical nightmare.
Oh, it was awful. It took him 2 full years of planning just to catch a flight into his 193rd and final country, Sudan, in November 2025.
Just because of the airport closures, right?
Right. The main airport in Khartoum was completely closed, so he had to strategize a way into Port Sudan instead.
31 years of meticulous planning, and it all ends with a simple text message from Erik reading 193.
It's incredible, and it leaves you with a really provocative thought to end on today.
Let's hear it.
If completing the ultimate global bucket list, literally seeing every single nation on Earth, leaves a person in a state of profound silence, what does that reveal about our modern cultural obsession with constantly broadcasting, documenting, and over-explaining every minor experience we have online?